You are listening to Ignite, a resource of the North American Lutheran Church. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor David Wendell, assistant to the Bishop for Ministry and Ecumenism in the North American Lutheran Church. This is my sermon for the seventh Sunday of Easter. The gospel reading is from St. John's Gospel, the 17th chapter, verses 6 through 19. Jesus said, "I have manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that everything that thou hast given me is from thee. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I have guarded them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not pray that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be consecrated in truth." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel reading for this weekend, the seventh Sunday of Easter, Jesus prays, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world." Our gospel reading as a whole is a great and powerful, it's a meaningful passage. As with most of the lessons we've been hearing these 7 weeks of Easter, I could preach on this passage for a year or more, and I'd never cover the same topic twice. And yet we have one Sunday every 3 years to deal with these words of Jesus from his high priestly prayer, as we call it, prayed on the night of his betrayal, the night before his sacrifice for us on the cross. So, what does one say about this text once every 3 years? What is Jesus' point in this familiar yet profound passage? What's he really praying for here? Is there one thing that permeates all that Jesus prays for in this, his high priestly prayer? There is one thing, and it's the foundation of all that Jesus says in this prayer. There is one thing, and it's what we refer to as the challenge to be in the world, but not of the world. That's a phrase we use a lot in the church as we struggle to live in our world without selling out and becoming part of the world and just part of the culture. And it comes right out of Scripture. It comes from the mouth and the heart of our Lord Jesus himself as he prays to the Father, as he prays to the Father about unity, about the Word, about joy, about sanctification, about protection from the evil one. And Jesus prays for all of this as he prays for you and for me, for us, and for all disciples whom he knew would wrestle with how to be his faithful followers. The Lord prays for all of this as he prays for all disciples whom he knew would struggle with how to be Christians fully present in the world, sharing the gospel, loving and serving in his name, yet not being shaped by the culture at large. Not adopting wholesale our world's attitudes and ways. Jesus looked at his first disciples that first Maundy Thursday evening, and he knew that even in that ancient time, before TV and movies and the internet, before corporations and profit and loss statements and the stock market, that even in that ancient time, his disciples would have a hard time remaining disciples. Because the world around them would try so hard to get them to give up their radical Christian ideas, to get them to fit into the world and to accept the world's values and morals. And surely Jesus knew that we, his disciples today, would face those same pressures to compromise and conform and fit in. Surely Jesus knew how we would be pressured not to hold fast to God's will with regard to, say, faithfulness in marriage and purity and chastity outside marriage. Surely Jesus knew how we would be pressured to not be so honest and truthful and principled at work, in business, in the corporate world. Surely Jesus knew how we would be pressured at school to wear the right clothes, put on the right makeup, listen to the right music, no matter how unchristian, how impure, how ungodly they might be. Surely the Lord Jesus knew how pressured we would be to escape from the pain and hurt of daily life and relationships, pressured to abuse alcohol, smoke weed, and rely on prescription painkillers just to get through the day. We could go on and on about the pressures brought to bear on disciples in our time and in every time as the world and our culture try desperately to get us Christians in line, as the world tries to get us to fit in, to get us to let go of our strict Christian moral teachings, so that we won't make others feel guilty for their maybe ungodly, disobedient lifestyles. But it's enough to say that Jesus knew full well what we would face in the challenge to be in the world, but not of the world. So on the night before his crucifixion, on the night before his disciples would be thrown into anxiety and confusion and turmoil by his death on the cross, Jesus did the most he could do for his disciples to comfort them and strengthen them and to build them up. He prayed for them. He prays still for his disciples. He intercedes at the right hand of the Father, for you and for me. He prays that as we strive to be in the world, but not of the world, that we would be kept in his word, that we would be kept in his love, that we would be protected from the evil one. He prayed that we would be one in his name. And maybe most importantly, he prayed that we would be sanctified. Sanctified in the truth. The truth which is his word. It's powerful that at the end of these prayer petitions, Jesus prays, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." He goes on to say, "As you, Father, have sent me into the world, so I am sending them into the world." And Jesus prays, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth." This prayer is powerful because in it, Jesus sanctifies himself for us. He consecrates himself in truth so that we too might sanctify, consecrate ourselves in truth, in and through the truth that is God's word. And what Jesus is telling us as we are overhearing his prayer to his Father is that being consecrated in the truth that is God's word is what will help us, guide us, strengthen us as we struggle to remain in the world without becoming of the world. It is being consecrated, dedicated, set apart, sanctified in the truth of God's word that is the only way that we can be faithful, obedient Christians. At work, in the corporate world, at home, at school. It's the only way our children and teenagers can learn how not to be conformed to the ways of the world. It's the only way that we can remain godly in a world that dislikes, Jesus says, hates godliness. As we are in and through Jesus, sanctified in the truth that is God's word. Which is why we are to commit and recommit ourselves. To consecrate and reconsecrate ourselves over and over again to the truth, to God's word. Hearing it, learning it, proclaiming it, teaching it, obeying it, striving to live it. Dr. Martin Luther himself encourages us. He writes in the Large Catechism, "God's word is not like some empty tale or fable." But as St. Paul writes in Romans 1:16, "It is the power of God, indeed, the power of God which burns up the devil," Luther says, "and gives us immeasurable strength, comfort, and help." Luther said, "Time and paper would fail me if I were to attempt to recount all the blessings that flow from God's word." Not only do we need God's word daily, Luther says, as we need our daily bread, we also must use it daily against the daily incessant attacks and ambushes of the devil. Deuteronomy 6:7 and 8, Luther says, solemnly enjoins that we should always meditate upon God's word, whether sitting, walking, standing, lying down, or rising. And keep them, Martin Luther says, keep them before our eyes and in our hands as a constant reminder and sign. Luther says we need God's word daily to give us immeasurable strength, comfort, and help. That's what Jesus is praying for us, for you, and for me in his high priestly prayer. that we would be sanctified in the truth which is proclaimed and taught in God's word. That we need it daily as disciples to protect us from the incessant attacks and ambushes of Satan, the evil one. That we need it to keep us united and faithful as we try in life to be in the world but not of the world. As we try to keep ourselves unstained by the world, the Word of God will do us no good if we fail to keep it and seek to live it. It will not guide us or strengthen us if we won't hear it read and preached. We will not be sanctified in the truth if we are not in the Word. So, as Jesus prayed, and as the Father wills, let us obey. Let us abide. Let us live every day in God's Word. Let us abide in the Word that we may be sanctified in truth. That's our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.